We're discussing how flight attendants are handling COVID, what we should know about this work, and what changes they're advocating for within the airline industry. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. American Airlines plans to incentivize employees to get a COVID vaccine. The Dallas Morning News reported on a letter last week sent to the airline's workers telling them that they can get an extra day off work next year and a voucher worth $50 to use on restaurants or stores. How do you feel about encouraging or requiring vaccines? Do you feel safe flying today? What sort of changes do you think should be instituted when it comes to air travel? 800-642-1234. Paul Hartshorn Jr. has been a flight attendant for over 20 years. He's a spokesperson for the Association of Professional Flight Attendants Union, which represents American Airlines flight attendants. Paul, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me.
If you could give us a capsule, a lot has changed since the pandemic started last year. How has the job of a flight attendant changed since then?
Yeah, the job has changed in ways that we never imagined. We're coming up on the year anniversary. We're there of when the pandemic started affecting our careers greatly. We took office at the union in April of last year amidst total chaos with the flight schedule and everything due to the spreading pandemic. You know, first they halted flights to Asia, then they would halt flights to Europe, then domestic flights were affected. It was just a spiral downward. Jobs were lost quickly. We had to deal with not just the loss of job loss, but also dealing with a new mask compliance policy. So the last year has been really difficult, to say the least.
Picking up there on the mask compliance, before President Biden ordered masks to be worn on commercial aircraft, what did conversations with passengers sound like when flight attendants tried to enforce mask wearing in flight?
So really, it started in April of 2020 when, you know, we were still told that the masks should be saved for healthcare workers. Of course, we agreed with that. We were told they weren't necessary for us. We pushed and lobbied in Washington, D.C. with a bunch of transportation unions to get that changed because we knew this was spreading by air and we knew it wasn't safe not to have protection. So in April of 2020, we finally got American Airlines to move to require masks. Unfortunately, they only required it for the flight attendants. And that made no sense to us because you were protecting to some extent passengers, but we had no protections either. As we moved on to the next couple of months, we kept lobbying Congress, the Department of Transportation, to please require these masks on board for our protection as we saw flight attendant COVID-19 cases skyrocket. That didn't happen until June, where they started requiring masks for everyone. And as we went on through the summer, the mask requirements became more stringent. But I will say, since Biden has issued the federal mask mandate, it's become much easier to ensure and to have passenger compliance.
Have you seen passenger compliance? And what happens when a passenger refuses to wear a mask?
We have procedures on the aircraft that we can notify American to let them know that we have non-compliant passengers on board. And many times it's not us that notice this, right? It's more the passengers that are sitting around them. And it often turns into a verbal and sometimes physical altercation between the passengers, not even the flight attendants who may not be on the scene right just yet. So there is a way. We have a reporting system that American takes very seriously, and our corporate security department will either meet the flight or reach out to the passenger if they're having compliance issues.
Do you feel, Paul, that flight attendants are equipped with ample training in de-escalation techniques?
I think we have excellent training. We have yearly recurrent training that we have to attend, which is very intense. It does include disruptive passenger training, things of that nature, and it's very thorough. I will say what we're not trained for is what we've seen since January 6th on the aircraft of different groups of passengers having altercations with one another, politicizing the mask compliance, things of that nature. And that has been something very, very difficult for our flight attendants in the cabin. And it's something that we continue to work on in Washington for safer, more stringent rules regarding that and fines.
We're talking with Paul Hartsorn, who's a flight attendant, longtime flight attendant, spokesperson for the Association of Professional Flight Attendants Union. We're discussing the state of air travel, the work of flight attendants in this pandemic. Taking your questions, do you travel by air? What have you noticed in flight? And if you work in air transportation, the air and airline industry, how has your life changed on the job since the pandemic started? 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Paul, what are penalties like for people who don't wear masks? Are they put on a list? What are the steps?
So there are a number of steps. That does include a no-fly list, I believe, at each airline until the masks are no longer necessary. But with President Biden's federal mandate, there can be possibly monetary fines attached to a non-compliance incident.
Has your union, do you feel, had to apply pressure to get safety precautions? Or do you think airlines, and Americans specifically here, have been proactive in following CDC guidance?
I think as a union, we've always followed the CDC guidance. It has not always been easy getting us to the place that we are today. I mean, I think we can all agree that it's very difficult to physically distance on board an aircraft. We really don't have that option, whether the aircraft is full or half empty. So this is why in April of last year, our union, along with other transportation unions across the industry, other airline unions, lobbied Washington, talked to our representatives, our senators, and really made the push to make this mask compliance or the mask wearing mandatory, because we knew that this spread by air. It wasn't a secret, and we weren't protecting our passengers or our flight attendants to the extent that they needed. So this has been a long time coming. It took us months to get to the point where everyone was required to wear it, where they were required to wear it on the jetway, in the airports, just for everyone's safety. In addition to that, we've also spent a lot of time talking with the Department of Transportation and then Secretary Elaine Chao to try to come up with uniform cleaning standards across the industry. You know, I think the goal here is to have travel demand return, right? We want everyone to feel safe, and we want our business to come back. We want our employees to be employed. It's the same story across America, right? So we worked to try to get those cleaning procedures uniform across the country. We were so far are unsuccessful, but we are still speaking with the DOT, the new administration, and the DOT to see if we can get that done, just as an added security measure for passengers to feel comfortable and feel safe returning.
You have made steps, though, on in-flight air quality and air purification.
For sure. The airlines really stepped it up there with the filtration system, the HEPA filters and things of that nature. And they've really begun, I guess the good part about it is really begun to explain it to the passengers. I know that there are announcements and videos on video equipped aircraft now explaining how it works. So I think that goes a long way to ensuring just a little bit more safety and security when you're on board our aircraft.
Let's bring in Gary now in Madison with a question. Hi, Gary.
Yes, good morning. We're going to be flying out shortly here. And just wondering the requirements for masks on planes, the type of mask. You see all kinds of different masks, and is there a certain standard required, or as long as the nose and mouth are covered, is that sufficient?
Hey, Gary, thanks for reaching out. This is Paul again. Yeah, there are definitely standards, and I know that I'm assuming it's any airline, but if you're flying an American, there are steps on the website, AA.com, exactly what is and isn't allowed. As this pandemic progressed last year, as I said, American and other airlines realized that obviously this was a problem not requiring masks. And as they required them, the rules became more strict, right? So I think they removed things such as handkerchiefs over the face, or gaiters as they're called. They removed masks with valves, so those are not allowed either. To make you a little more comfortable, your whole process, once you get to the airport, American, I'm sure other airlines has extra masks for you as well. So my suggestion is always to have it when you walk in the door. But if something happens to yours, or yours isn't in total compliance, our ground staff will make sure you have one that's in total compliance before you even get near the aircraft.
Gary, thank you for your question. Safe travels. We are with Paul Hartzorn, a flight attendant spokesperson for the Association of Professional Flight Attendants, which represents more than 27,000 flight attendants at American Airlines. Are you one? How has life on the job changed since the pandemic? How have passengers responded to mask wearing and other situations? Did you become infected with COVID while at work? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're discussing air travel in the pandemic here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Nearly a year ago, airlines received billions of dollars in aid through the CARES Act relief package. A portion was aimed at keeping frontline workers like flight attendants on the job. President Biden's $1.9 trillion relief package is expected to be voted on by the House today. It's the final hurdle before heading to the president's desk, and it would contain the extension of that payroll support program for airlines, keeping employees on payroll through September. Do you work in the transportation industry? How has the pandemic affected your career? Did you lose your job or have to take unpaid leave? What can you say about airline travel now, or what do you want to know? 800-642-1234. Paul Hartzorn is a spokesperson for the Association of Professional Flight Attendants, and he's with us for 10 more minutes. Paul, let's look a little bit more closely at the airline workers who've been affected with lost paychecks, more than 45,000 lost medical benefits. What is the situation like now with employment?
Sure. So as we know, as you mentioned just now, the CARES Act that was passed, the payroll support program for aviation that was passed in last April of 2020, guaranteed that airline workers, frontline airline workers such as myself, anyone from mechanics, ground staff, flight attendants, pilots would be connected to their pay, but most importantly, stay connected to their health care through October 1st. That was one of the first things we did. As I said, my administration took office in March, and we were just thrown right into that. So the first thing we did was start lobbying for that money to keep everyone connected. As of October 1st, that money expired, and I'm sure you followed along and had heard that we were working on Capitol Hill with all the labor unions and really all the airlines to get that extended through March of this year to ensure that the announced layoffs that American and other airlines had announced would not happen. At American alone, on October 1st, they announced a furlough of 19,000 workers on one day, and that was just the numbers from American. It was upwards of 75,000 people losing their jobs. Now, we talk about paychecks. We talk about keeping money coming in. We were incredibly worried about having these people on the street losing access to their health care, and that during a pandemic, and that was something that we could not just let sit. So we did lobby Congress. We worked with our representatives. We worked with some of our champions in the House of Representatives, Peter DeFazio, Aviation Subcommittee Chairman Rick Larson, to get this extended. Unfortunately, there was a little gap from when we had the payroll support for aviation extended, but we got all of those employees back on the job as of December 1st with their pay and with their health care. So this infrastructure bill, this payroll support program for aviation, is groundbreaking. It's never been done before, and it really has literally saved lives.
When you look at the months ahead, though, I mean, analysts are predicting air travel won't recover to pre-pandemic levels until 2024. And then you see Spirit Airlines planning to start training new pilots and flight attendants, anticipating the rebound of leisure travel. Is American gearing up? What do you see in the future?
We're hopeful. You know, we are hopeful on the domestic front, and the Caribbean and Mexico front, where we see strong travel demand now. So we're hopeful. We know Americans want to travel. We know they're ready to get back out there. Internationally is a little more difficult to predict, simply because different countries have different entry requirements. And right now, a lot of them are still battling the pandemic, some worse than we are at this point, since we're trending downwards. So there are places that we know, as you said, we won't see a return to some of those cities in Europe, possibly in Asia, for a year, 2 years, whatever the case may be. We won't see the frequency we did. And American, speaking for American, won't be the size it was pre-pandemic for a good couple of years. Now, that said, our focus is keeping, obviously, our flight attendants safe. We're the flight attendant union, right? But we want our passengers to feel safe, too. We want travel demand to return, just like American does. We want people to get out there, and we most importantly want it to be safe, but we want them to feel safe.
We're talking with Paul Hartshorn. He's a spokesperson for the Association of Professional Flight Attendants, also a flight attendant for decades. We're looking at the state of air travel and what it feels like to fly now. Taking your questions about flying and how to prepare, 800-642-1234. Paul, I want to explore a little bit what American Airlines policies have been around testing, around contact tracing and quarantine of crews. What does that look like?
So American does have a quarantine leave in place for its all of its employees. Obviously, I would say this affects flight attendants more so simply because we are in, you know, the metal tube with passengers, many different passengers, sometimes up to 3 and 4 different plane loads of passengers a day. But they do have a contact tracing system set up. So if a flight attendant does notify American of a positive test, they have a way to contact all of the crew members that they flew with. They are removing them for the period of which they could expose others, and they are making sure that they're made whole in terms of pay. So they've really stepped up. They followed the CDC guidelines, for which we're thankful, and they are protecting us to the extent possible. It really does just lie on the flight attendants and passengers to make sure we're protecting each other. I know we're all sick of wearing these masks, and I know it's difficult. Listen, going to the airport is already a stressful job, right? When you're heading somewhere, add the mask protection, trying to keep it on your children, things of that nature, just adds a whole nother level of stress. So we need to do it now to follow the CDC guidelines just to get through this and get back to some sense of normalcy, of course, of which we look forward to.
Just some clarity, though, are there testing protocols before a crew arrives at the airport?
That we have our own private testing protocols. We fill out forms, electronic forms, before we go to work, talking about symptoms, talking about how we feel. If we have any symptoms, they provide testing if we need it, but you're not required to have a test each time you show up for work.
How do you feel about other airlines saying, you know, we'll monitor for symptoms even if a crew member tests positive?
I don't like it. I like what American has done in terms of allowing their flight attendants to not come to work sick. They have a process in place where you can be removed without punishment and also made whole or paid for whatever flying you have lost. I know there are other airlines out there that do say that, you know, just monitor your symptoms. To me, that's irresponsible for the flight attendants I'm working with, and that's also irresponsible for the customers.
As we start to wrap up here, you know, how soon do you feel like Americans will feel safe to travel, to get on flights again? Because one part of your job is to say, hey, we're doing all we can and you'll be okay when you get on this flight. And yet there are a whole bunch of precautions that you really have to take in order to do this.
Right. So I think as we see the vaccine more widely distributed, I think that will move Americans towards feeling more comfortable on the whole, right? So I think that as we see that, we're going to see a sharp increase in travel demand. Now, as I mentioned before, I believe that demand will be mostly domestic, maybe the Caribbean and Mexico leisure destination flying, as you mentioned before. But our goal is to not only keep our flight attendants and passengers safe, but our goal is to make sure that there is an air of safety in the air. Really, people feel that they can return. We know they want to travel. We hear from corporate customers. We hear from our customers every day that they are ready to get out there and travel. They just don't quite feel 100% safe yet. So that's our goal, moving towards that, keeping the mask compliance up, and just getting through this to get back to some sense of normalcy, whatever that may be in the new world.
Paul, what is vaccine rollout like for American employees?
So we have been working with American to try to get it available for our flight attendants. We finally do have some doses available in our Chicago flight attendant crew base. We are moving to get it into all 11 crew bases, obviously not just for flight attendants, but for all American employees at our local American Airlines medical facilities, of which are at each of our hubs. So that's moving. It's moving slower than we would like. And we see more flight attendants actually receiving the vaccine in their home states a little bit quicker than American is able to secure doses. But we're going to keep up the pressure on getting that available in the airports for our team members, for, you know, mechanics, pilots, ground staff, anyone who wants it, just to make it a little bit easier for them to access the vaccine.
And very quickly, should it be mandated, the vaccine?
That's the question. I don't know if it's going to be mandated. I do know that we probably will see some countries that will require our crews to have the vaccine. Mm. So that whole issue remains to be seen how the airlines are going to handle it. And it's definitely a sticky issue.
Paul, thank you for joining us.
Kate, thank you so much for having me. I hope we talk soon.
Paul Hartzorn is a flight attendant and spokesperson for the Association of Professional Flight Attendants, which represents more than 27,000 American Airlines flight attendants. Ahead this hour, we explore PBS Wisconsin's new series called Why Race Matters and what it has in store for conversations around race. News update is next. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.